Good afternoon, everyone. What a busy week it's been, and a week of significant changes, probably the biggest changes we have made since we first had to bring in the measures to protect our island. This evening I would like to step back, I would like to pause to reflect on where we have come from, and give you a bit of an idea of where we may be heading. Before that, a weekday evening would not be complete without the Health and Social Care Minister bringing us today's numbers. David.
Thank you, Chief Minister. The total number of tests undertaken stands at 4,353. The total number of test results returned is 4,332. That leaves 21 test results outstanding. Since yesterday, we have identified no new cases, so the total number of identified cases continues to be 336, and there are currently 9 active cases. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. And I would like to preempt a question that I imagine might come up later, because I think it is an important message, given that from yesterday, we now have the ability to now go and visit our friends and family. Obviously, I cannot go into many details, but I do want to say a few words about the new confirmed case that we saw yesterday. It was not a health worker, or another frontline worker, or anyone connected to a care home, or someone who may have travelled from across. This was just one of our young people. They and their family have self-isolated, and I'm grateful to them for having done the right thing. I, of course, wish them well. Contact tracing is underway and will take its course. I'm certainly not seeking to single out that individual, but the important point is that COVID is still in our community and can be contracted by any one of us from any age group. That is why, despite having such low numbers each day, we simply cannot become complacent. Our understanding of the virus is still so limited, but we do know that significant numbers of people will have no symptoms at all, and some will have symptoms so light that they may shrug them off as being something else. And this is why we still need everyone to think carefully and make the right decisions. If someone showing no symptoms does not maintain social distancing when out and about, or worse, when they visit a friend or relative who is vulnerable, the effects could be disastrous. As I said on Monday, we want to steadily remove restrictions. But as we step out of your life, we need you to step up and take responsibility. You have done an amazing job so far, and I know that you will continue to do so. The overall picture on the island does allow us to be optimistic. It has allowed us to make changes. On Monday, many retail businesses started trading again. The reports that I have received so far are that this has gone well and that on the whole, the new systems put in place to keep you safe and of course keep the shop staff safe are working well. And I would like to thank the commissioners and Douglas Corporation for all their work on this. On Monday, I was also able to announce that if you were comfortable doing so, you could start seeing people from other households, effective yesterday. We tried to keep the rules as simple as possible. 10 outside, 2 inside. People understood them, and I hope this has made a difference to your life. I hope you have been able to see your friends and family, but I do hope you have been doing so safely. For the time being, we will still regulate larger gatherings outside. We think there is a wider public interest here. And we will maintain rules in place for the moment on limiting people inside your home to 2. But once that person or those 2 people from the same household enter your home, we have to hand over responsibility to you. We want you to judge your risk and make decisions for your circumstances. You are best placed to do so. You know if you're not feeling 100%. You know if someone at home has a health issue. Make the right decisions for you and your family. The Council of Ministers met this morning to review progress on our Stay Safe roadmap. We were pleased with how things are going so far. There is still some way to go, but we are making progress towards our new Manx normal. So where are we right now? And where are we going? Let's break it into the three chapters that you've heard me use before. As I've said many times, the Council of Ministers is trying to hit a difficult balance for a controlled return. This morning, as always, we have had to balance the desire to see more businesses return with the need to ensure the changes we have already made remain effective and safe. The Health and Social Care Minister will be taking this briefing tomorrow. He will take you through how we are going to start bringing our health services back online. I know how important this is to our community. Some changes have already started. Some will take longer. It will be careful and gradual, or as David will, I am sure, say, baby steps. Now, I won't eat David's sandwiches. He can take you through this tomorrow. While we are talking about health, I am pleased to confirm that following support from our clinical group, we are now ready to support non-essential private practice health therapies, physiotherapy, podiatry, etc., to reopen with immediate effect if they are able to demonstrate appropriate risk assessments. They should also have any necessary personal protection equipment. The changes to contact between households was a big step, and I think we are unlikely to make further changes on that in the immediate future. We will, however, keep this under careful review. I have said before that any increased contact between households will inevitably lead to an increased risk that the virus could spread. In 2 weeks, we should be able to see any impact that this change has had. If, based on the evidence, we are able to step out of your life further and change the measures again, we will. If we can't, we won't. Throughout the pandemic, we have kept schools open for those who most needed them, in a managed and gradual manner. And as people have returned to work, we have expanded this. We need to ensure that our children do not miss more of their schooling than is absolutely necessary. The Department for Education, Sport and Culture has been working with teachers to ensure we get this right. From Monday the 15th of June, we will be opening all school sites, and from Wednesday the 17th of June, all those children currently taught in the hubs will be able to return to their normal school. The exact process by which we reintroduce pupils back into school is still being worked on. It will be done in a phased way. The department will be working with parents and teachers to organise this. We know that not every family is ready to send their children back to school. We have therefore decided that attendance will be on a voluntary basis until the new school year in September. The Minister for Education and Sport and Culture will be taking this briefing on Monday. I am sure he can give you the latest then. I know how important sport is to our community. The changes to our gatherings regulations has allowed us to allow a number of sports to restart and in some cases expand what they can offer. I am pleased to be able to tell you that from Saturday we will be allowing a range of outdoor sporting facilities to open. Further guidance will be published later this evening by the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, and the Minister will be here on Monday to update you. Moving on to the economy. A significant amount of our businesses have now been able to return to work. Some, of course, never stopped, but we have now been able to allow all but a couple of sectors to return. What is left, you may ask? The largest sector of our economy in workforce terms is services. We estimate that it employs around 14,000 people. As I've said on Monday, many have been able to have staff working from home, and we have welcomed this. From next week, we are ready for these companies to start a gradual, phased return. We are, however, only prepared for them to do so if they can provide a safe working environment for their staff. We issued guidance on what we believe are the important principles. Much of our service sector are part of regulated industries. Where this is the case, the regulators have written to them about this. Our service companies know what we expect of them. It is now for them to work out how they make our safety principles fit within their business models. Most companies have told us that they do not expect to return to anything like full staffing levels for some time. Some companies have told us that they are not yet ready to bring staff back at all for the moment, and that working from home will be an important part of their own new normal. This is for companies to work through in their own way. We will set standards and update those standards as the situation evolves. For now, we will still ask employers to encourage home working, and we know many will choose to continue to do so. However, if employers or employees wish to return to the office, provided it is safe to do so, that will be a choice they can make together. This is their decision. The Council of Ministers today considered lifestyle businesses. This includes beauticians, hairdressers, barbers and tattoo artists. Today we agreed that from the 1st of June they can reopen. We have been talking to them about what would be necessary for this to happen. As countries elsewhere have reopened the sector, we have been able to learn from their experiences. We will require practitioners to carry out a risk assessment, to have PPE and to ensure social distancing on their premises. We will also require them to maintain for 28 days a record of all their customers for tracing purposes should the need arise. We today also considered what we could do to help the hospitality trade. We today agreed that we are ready to invite restaurants and cafes to start preparations for a possible opening of any outdoor areas on the 1st of June for food-led services. We will require them to adapt their seating to ensure social distancing. This has been done successfully elsewhere, and there are models that can be adopted to our local circumstances. We know that for some this will not be straightforward, but we know from our engagement with them that many are already developing ideas, often very innovative ones. We will publish guidance next week and offer advice and support where we can. Where the restaurant wishes to increase or even create outside dining areas, we will try to assist where possible. At present, hotels and other tourist accommodation can only be provided for key workers and self-isolation. In line with our decision on gatherings and campsites recently made, as a first step, we have agreed to allow a gradual return of this sector. From the 25th of May, self-catering accommodation can join camping and glamping type facilities in being open again. This builds on the Treasury Minister's comments yesterday about the increasing demand for staycation opportunities here on our wonderful Isle of Man for us all to enjoy. We will consider the remainder of the sector soon. We have had early conversations with the pub and bar operators. We may be able to find a way to allow them to open in a different or limited way, but we and they accept that it may be some time before we are able to have a pint while propping up the bar. I have said far too many times that closing our borders has been the single biggest difference in our fight against this virus. We were able to raise the drawbridge whilst the United Kingdom and so many other countries struggled to get to grips with it. The Council of Ministers remains of the view that we cannot envisage unhindered travel between our island and the United Kingdom in the immediate future. We will reopen the borders one day, but we are not there yet. Nevertheless, the stable position we now find ourselves in terms of capacity at the hospital, staffing, PPE and our contact tracing system, has allowed us to consider whether we can make some more small changes. We therefore agreed that from the 3rd of June we will be slightly increasing the number of residents who can come back from the United Kingdom by boat, from one boat to two, with an operational maximum of 50 people on each. The arrangements on arrival will not change. People will still have to quarantine either at home or at an approved location, either alone or with people they travelled with. This will continue to be on a first-come, first-served basis, and this is for our returning residents. But we will now make some limited provisions for non-residents who need to come into the island for genuine, compassionate reasons. I do need, however, to be clear by what I mean when I say compassionate. I mean end of life or to attend a funeral, and for immediate family only. But the point I need to underline is that even in compassionate cases, the 14-day home quarantine will still apply. I know that this is not going to work for every circumstance, and I know that this is not what was reported yesterday by one of our media outlets. It was terribly sad that an inaccurate story yesterday that then spread fast on social media raised the hopes of a mourning family. I will now take questions. And first is Chris Cave from Energy FM. Chris.
Good afternoon, Minister. Many questions on education and sport, actually, but I suppose they're best saved for the Minister when he talks to us on Monday. I'm glad you mentioned compassionate leave. We've heard before that all the guidance and rules are subject to constant review. Where do people currently stand on leaving the island for compassionate reasons and then returning back to the Isle of Man?
Well, that's already allowed, Chris. If you have a close family member who has died in the UK and you wish to go to their funeral, then you can go away, attend the funeral, and then book yourself back on the boat, and with the increase in sailings, etc., you will get back fairly quickly now, but you will then have to obviously isolate for the 14-day period.
Is it just limited to those reasons, though, those compassionate reasons you mentioned, end of life and funerals?
Yes. It's not to take a holiday or go for a tour of Scotland.
Well,
it's for serious issues. You know, we have had some cases where people have said, I need to go on a business trip, but I want to take my wife with me. You know, come on, folks, let's be sensible. This is for end of life or the death of a close family member. And we obviously,
I understand those
whilst
are
we're
very
allowing
serious
it,
issues. Whilst I have been contacted by a parent who's got a young child in the UK who hasn't seen them in months now, and it is taking its toll. He would. And I'm sure there are many others in this situation who have friends and family, as you say, who may be near the end of life, who wish to leave the Isle of Man for these compassionate reasons, but can't do so and continue working if they have to self-isolate for 14 days. Is it under consideration that we could put people into self-isolation upon return to the island, test them, and then if they are free of the virus, they be allowed out of self-isolation?
I don't think that's available at the moment, Chris, because as we've said time and time again, you can have this bug, the coronavirus, be tested and come up with a negative test and then a few days later show the symptoms. And if you could have another test 5-6 days later and come up positive, it's... It doesn't, just by having the test does not mean that you haven't got it. It just means that at that time that you have the test, the symptoms are not strong enough to show that you have it. So you could give a false confidence to someone that they've been tested and therefore they're clear, they go and mingle with people, and then 4 or 5 days later, they then come down with the full-blown coronavirus. So there's no test out there at this moment in time that says definitely you have not got it and you're not going to get it. You're not in the middle of it. So obviously the changes that we make are, we review everything on a regular basis. So I'm not going to say never because I don't know what's ahead. But at this moment in time, you cannot change the 14-day isolation on the Isle of Man.
Thanks. My second question, rules now allow for two people from a different household to come into your home. Could you please provide an update on car journeys and whether people from separate households are allowed in the same vehicle?
To the best of my knowledge, that's not allowed. That's mixing. It's much closer than you're not going to be able to observe a meter, let alone 2 meter distancing. So at this moment in time, car sharing with people from a different household is not allowed. But obviously, I'm not saying that's never, going forward, I'm sure that will be reviewed. As I say time and time again, we review all our decisions on a regular basis to see with the latest data, can we make changes to ease the situation on people's lives?
Okay, thank you.
Right, next we have Simon Richardson from Business 365. Good afternoon, Simon. Fast am I.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. You've announced quite a significant relaxation for the services sector today. Now, this suggests you're pretty happy with efforts to suppress the virus. Is that the case?
Well, I think we're in a good place, but we can't be complacent. And as I say, we're doing it in a staged way. We're not saying they are still going to have to follow the social distancing rules, Simon. And therefore, it's not going to be thousands of people back into offices at once. They will have to follow the rules. It enables them to open up again and bring staff, some staff that have been working from home, back into the offices. But they will not be, most of them, I cannot envisage being 100% staffed straight away. They will have to do it in stages and work with their staff on this. But guidance has been issued. We've been working with them behind the scenes. And as I say, their regulator will have written to them if they are part of that, of those, have to comply with those regulations on what is expected from them. But it is certainly a step in the right direction for them. And your next question.
My second question. I had questions on aviation yesterday for the Treasury Minister, which he answered clearly and in some detail. Since then, we've heard from the UK that EasyJet's domestic services are set to restart on June the 15th. Now, if our airport remains closed for the foreseeable future, as seems likely, isn't there a real chance that EasyJet will simply drop the route and go elsewhere?
Well, I think it could be one of three things. A, Loganair operate already to the Isle of Man. They hardly bring anyone in, bar key workers, etc., but they choose to operate those flights. It may well be that EasyJet are looking to see what the United Kingdom are going to do with their proposals on closing their borders, or it could well be that they've just generalised, they've looked at their schedule and they've said that all our internal flights to all the locations we've normally gone, we used to go to, will start from such and such a date. So I wouldn't read too much into it, but we will not be relaxing our border controls because EasyJet have decided to open, to start their internal flights again. Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you.
Okay, Josh now. Josh Stokes from ITV. Good afternoon, Josh.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. Hope you're well. Just following on from what Simon said, really, to begin with, has the government been in contact with EasyJet at all today, perhaps, to question the booking service they're currently offering? Because presumably the borders will not be opening by the 15th of June, and yet you can still book for a flight to come and go from the Isle of Man.
Yeah, I know I spoke to the Minister for Infrastructure, Mr. Harmer, today about this during our Council of Ministers meeting, and I know he's looking into it. Obviously, it came out at short notice. People can book EasyJet to leave the island. It's just the getting back bit, which is the harder bit. So anyone can leave the island, whether it be by boat or by plane. It, as I say, getting back, it's easier now for those people who have been off-island stranded, who are being repatriated, and those people going away to a loved one's funeral or to say goodbye before they pass away. But that's their choice. You know, they're a private business. They can do whatever they want. It's not for me to stop them doing this. Our position and our borders stays is that our borders are closed and we allow people back for repatriation, or our people who've been away for compassionate visits, or from those residents wanting to come and see our Manx people who are dying for their compassionate visits, and key workers. Other than that, our borders are closed.
Hey, thank you. And my second question, following on from that, really, yesterday the Treasury Minister told us that the vast majority of businesses should be back operating within the next few weeks, and certainly within 12 weeks, emphasising the importance of taking a confident and optimistic approach. So with that in mind, are you able to give us some indications on at least what factors you're looking at in regards to opening the border? And it was indicated yesterday that some sort of phased opening is possible. So what can you tell us about that, as it's clearly being discussed amongst you?
Well, obviously, we have to have a plan. We don't know when that will happen. And it's one thing I've always said, I do not like setting dates in the future. Giving you dates a week in advance to say an industry's going back, for example, I think is more than acceptable. But saying that in 2 months' time we will open our borders, that's just too risky. And there are too many events that can happen to derail that event. And people could plan on that date in the future and then be totally disappointed just beforehand. But obviously we will be looking at the number of new cases in the United Kingdom. Obviously, if it's significantly low and down to the sort of, or a death rate that's down to the common cold sort of numbers that will see people off, then these are data that we will have to look at. And obviously, we look at our capacity still on the island. At the moment, it's good for PPE, for hospital beds, for staff numbers, etc. If all those things are good and the UK has a significantly reduced rate of infections, then obviously those will be the factors that will help us decide. But you're quite right, Josh, it won't be a sudden opening. It will be what I call little steps, or Minister Ashford might say baby steps, where we allow certain areas back into the island. And there may be a set of rules where we do testing on people. You know, there are new tests coming out in the future. Who knows how quickly the Oxford vaccine can be developed and brought online. So these are all out up in the air, and we will obviously make the decisions as quickly as we can. But at the end of the day, my number one rule is everything we do must be to ensure the safety of and the health of the people of the Isle of Man. That's our number one concern.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Josh. Right, and last but not least, Tim Glover from Manx Radio. Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Pastor Mike, Chief Minister. Can I ask my second question to you and the first to the Health Minister, please?
Absolutely. David.
Good afternoon, Tim. I thought I'd been forgotten about.
Well, I didn't want to leave you out. Dentists, we're told, could have reopened today for emergency treatments. Why haven't they?
Are we making announcements around dentistry tomorrow, Tim? There is a whole plan around dentistry, and I'll be going into more detail on that tomorrow.
Is it concerns within the private sector, though, that has prevented them opening today?
Well, there's a mixed view between dentists. Obviously, in terms of what the private sector do, we aren't going to dictate to them that they should open if they don't wish to do so, same as with any industry. But I'll be able to go into more detail around dentistry in my announcements today. The Chief Minister said earlier he didn't want to eat my sandwiches ahead of tomorrow, and I'll be expanding on that tomorrow.
Sorry, I'm being greedy and trying to get your sandwiches. Thank you.
You are.
Or as we'd say on the Isle of Man, Tim, butties.
Yes. And I wish you'd tipped me off about barbers opening as well at the weekend.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's never been much of a concern for me.
You had the honour yesterday of flagging Christian Varley away from Peel. And let's just applaud the efforts that he's put in. 19 marathons in 19 days. A tremendous effort and a real amount of money raised for the Manx Solidarity Fund that'll go to really good use. But I have to ask, because we've had a lot of inquiries, how concerned were you by the amount of people who gathered at the finish at Tymwald Hill?
Right, well, I didn't specifically. I went, obviously, to the start. I waved
you
them off.
Peel, yeah.
I gave a little talk to people as part of my speech that I hope they were all observing the 2 metre distancing and they'd washed their hands before they came. And on the whole, I know I saw a photograph of a queue outside a shop a few weeks ago, Tim. And when you take it from in front of the queue, from a distance, it looks as if everyone is virtually within touching distance from one another. Whereas I spoke to the MHK for that area and he said they'd been there and people had respected in the queue, there had been the proper distancing. So I think sometimes you get a photograph of Tim. I wasn't there. I didn't go because I didn't want to add to the numbers. Obviously, His Excellency was waving the finishing flag for him. And I thought there would be a few people there and I didn't want to add to the number. But I've seen the photographs. Hopefully, the photographs are taken in such a way that it might look as if people were a lot closer than they actually were. I am trusting people to get it right. There will be more of these sort of events in the future, and it really is up to people to take that responsibility. As I've said today, we've had a young person, it was a teenager, it wasn't a young child yesterday, who caught the coronavirus. What I'm trying to show is that any one of us can get this illness from any age group, and therefore we cannot be complacent just because we're, I don't know, under 30. I have to exclude myself from that category, sadly, but it's not just people of a certain age who are going to get this illness. All sorts can get it. This wasn't someone from a care home. It wasn't someone from a hospital. It was just a member, a young adult member of our public who caught it. Anyone can get it. And therefore, these sort of gatherings to celebrate a fantastic achievement. I don't think I could do one marathon, let alone 19. But to do that, raise 60 plus thousand pounds for good causes for the Isle of Man, for the Manx Solidarity Fund, is a phenomenal achievement. It deserved the respect and support it got. And I know, driving back to my office, because I still had Timald on to that day, because it was on Tuesday, there was people along the road who'd socially distance and showing their support. So I just think people have to remain being sensible. Photographs can upset people. I know I regularly get sent photographs, and when I look into it, the police will say, well, we were there and we were content. Or a colleague will say, well, I was on that promenade and everything seemed okay. So I'm just, you know, yes, there was maybe more people than I would have hoped at the event, but I am hopeful that they all maintain the 2 metre distancing.
It's also the fact that it was could be deemed as one of these public gatherings that were obviously having restrictions on at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to be careful. It was borderline. It's happened. It's been a fantastic event and a fantastic achievement. I just ask people to respect the space of people around them. I think because I've given you so much information, I'm more than happy to take an additional question today from each of you. So if we want to go back to Chris, would you like to ask a question?
Yes, please. Just in terms of the roadmap, when can Manx residents expect this all-island 40-mile-per-hour speed limit to be lifted?
That's something that we've asked the medics to review at the moment. I have received a couple of emails from people who see this as a cynical ploy by the government to implement it and never take it away. That was not the case. We will be reviewing it in the near future. It was purely brought in to stop the number of accidents whilst we didn't know where we were with the virus. At one stage, we didn't know who had it, where it was, the numbers in society. We brought in some of what I think was really sensible measures, which ensured that we significantly reduced accidents on the island and therefore kept beds empty at Nobles Hospital. But we have no intention of keeping the speed limit all island at 40 miles an hour. I just want to reassure people of that. And obviously it will be on the advice of our medics when we are able to make changes to the 40 miles an hour. But we will. It's not some theory that government wants to be the big brother with the public and keep it at 40. That's not in my mind. It was done purely for coronavirus measures, and we will be making the changes as soon as possible. Thanks, Chris. Simon, do you have another question? Or are you all okay?
No, if I may, Chief Minister. Yeah, I would like to return to the issue of testing. We've heard, obviously, that the results are very positive at the moment. Very few cases are being recorded. But the number of tests still seems to be on the low side. Is it not the case now to really hammer home while you have the advantage and increase testing to as much as we can?
Well, we are testing, obviously, everyone who's admitted into the hospital. That's something quite a few other jurisdictions haven't done. We've done it since the 6th of April. So we're already doing that. We're already testing everyone who rings up the 111 line. But we are in such a good position that we're not getting that many referrals anymore from the 111 line. And we have now started put in place measures to do key workers, care homes, etc. And I'm sure the Health Minister will be able to give you further details on that topic tomorrow, Simon, when he's giving his update. Thank you very much. Josh, did you have a further question?
Yes, thanks, Chief Minister. Just a question. I've had someone contact me about some clarity on key workers who would usually commute to the UK for work. Can you just explain what the current rules are for those people who live here and would usually work overseas? And if they travel off island, are they able to get back? And will they have to self-isolate at home for 14 days before they then go back over to the UK?
Yeah, thanks for that, Josh. Yes, if you are classified as a key worker in the United Kingdom, we have accepted United Kingdom key workers rules for the island, because we are expecting as an island key workers to come over to our island and help us when we set up the oxygen plant. We had to bring over UK key workers to do the final testing on that plant. There are a number of key workers that we will need on the promenade. Specialist welding on certain pipes needs it's a specialist skill. So if we expect key workers from the UK to come over, then if we have residents on the Isle of Man who are classified as key workers by the United Kingdom, then they are allowed to go off to do their job. They can come back. Now that we've brought in the extra sailing with the increased numbers, the waiting time should be down to a minimal amount, but they will have to isolate for the 14 days at home or in a location if they're unable to do that. So if they need to go off the island in a shorter period of time, then of course if they're leaving, then that's fine, but they will have to follow the rules. But so I hope that's as clear as I can be, Josh, on that one.
Yeah, just to be clear on that. So if they come back over and they do wish to obviously go back to work over in the UK, they don't have to stay in the Isle of Man for 14 days before they can then go back over to the UK.
No, because they would be going straight off the island. They wouldn't be mixing with people. They'd be going straight off. So no, they wouldn't have to stay for the 14 days in isolation. Okay, and finally, Tim, do you have another question, Tim?
Yeah, I'll just reflect. Obviously, there's great delight in the comments we're getting on the Manx Radio feed of from people saying they can go see beauticians and have their hair done. But for those businesses, presumably, they're going to have less customers because there's going to be a certain amount of cleaning and making sure the premises work. So are they going to be viable as a business with less customers is the question we're being asked.
Well, I suppose that's they will have to work that out. Yes, they will have to keep a record of who they've seen, but guidelines will be put on our website explaining to people how they can do this by following the rules, the equipment they must have. And I think as long as they follow those rules, then they should be able to carry on with their business. We are looking at models in other jurisdictions who have implemented this to see how it's worked. So they might not be able to see the same numbers that they had in place beforehand, but I would hope that they would still be able to do a significant number of people. But what we're asking is to have PPE equipment, follow the guidelines, and keep a record of who their customers are to enable us that should there be a flare-up, then we can contact those people straight away. So it's trying to be as helpful as possible. It's happened sooner than I think most of us thought it would happen. But the data and our capacity has been so good that, and the fact that the Great Manx public have followed the rules so well and really flattened the curve, that we are in this position. But it is up to people to respect those the guidelines and the advice that we are giving to ensure that we do keep the curve down and the cases ticking along the bottom at naught or one a day. I mean, nothing would give me greater pleasure than to say for maybe 20 days on the bounce, we've had no cases. I think we're down to less than 10 people who are active at this moment in time. But as we've just seen, we've had a young adult declared yesterday as having it. So it just shows anyone can get it. You don't have to be a care worker or in one of our hotspots. So we've got to be careful. Thank you, Tim. Well, thank you all very much. I've received a lot of letters and emails, and some people tell me that we are moving too fast in relaxing measures. Some people tell me that we are going too slowly and that we need to get back to normality as soon as possible. From the start, this has been a series of wicked balances. We are doing our best to get it right. Will there be a spike in positive cases as a result of the changes and measures that have taken place in this week? Maybe. Whenever there is increased contact between people, there is increased risk. But we could not and cannot stay locked down forever. The damage we would do to our health, our economy and our community would have led to permanent scarring. I have confidence that we will get through this. It is a journey that we have been taking together since March. It has not been easy, but we are getting there. Let's put our best foot forward. Please keep safe and keep your loved ones safe. Remember the basics, keep your distance, respect other people's space. The future is in your hands. Thank you all very much.